Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, another sad day here in the United States of America. At least 5 dead, 8 hospitalized after a shooting at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. If you haven't heard this news yet, this took place at about 2:30 today. And it seems that everything is kind of locked down and secure, but 13 people shot, I think, total, of which 8 are still hospitalized and 5 have now been confirmed dead. They're not releasing any of that information. Especially, we do know the name of the shooter today, Esteban Santiago. Florida Senator Bill Nelson told reporters the guy's name. I don't know how he got that. And it was said that he was carrying a military ID. I was just listening to a press conference before coming up to the studio. And, you know, the Broward County people and folks there in the area and FBI are there, obviously. And no mention of terrorism yet. After this individual, it's reported he was using a 9mm and went through one clip of bullets, put another one in, and when he ran out, it sounds like he simply laid down and waited to be apprehended. The police didn't shoot him. He was unharmed, although he's obviously shot 13 people, of which 5 are dead. And so we don't know yet. Did he yell, Allahu Akbar? Did you think that immediately? That's immediately what I thought when I heard about it at about maybe about 2:45, not that long after it actually happened or when the news first started coming out. You know, immediately, was your immediate response, it's got to be terrorism? And let's pray for, and we're going to do that here together in just a minute. Florida's had a really, really difficult 12 months between what happened in Orlando with the gay nightclub shooting of 49 people shot and killed at that one and many others injured. And then, of course, the little boy that was killed at by the alligator right there at Disney just like a week or so after that. And then, of course, this today, another active shooter situation here in America. And is it terrorism? We'll find out. But, you know, you hear about this and it's really only one of two things, right? If it isn't terrorism, it's going to be mental illness. Now, of course, this will all, there'll be a certain percentage of the media that will immediately go to guns and when we have too many guns, so on and so forth. But it's always coming back to the individual that uses the gun. I don't think any of us have anything to be worried about. Most of my friends are gun owners and gun advocates. I don't think we have anything to worry about when it comes to law-abiding, decent people, God-fearing or otherwise. But if they're law-abiding and decent people, you know, some people have guns just because they like to shoot, other people for hunting, other people for home defense and just personal protection. And the overwhelming majority of gun owners obviously are peace-loving people, or we would have a whole lot more crazy violence than we do. But you go to Chicago, that's not about the guns, it's about the people. And you've got the situation now today down in Fort Lauderdale. And so that's what's going on. By the way, if you have any personal attraction or not attraction, any personal interaction with the shooting going on down there, I was on Facebook just a little while ago, and a family that I know, I've taught their daughter here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. They were waiting outside that terminal to get an Uber car. I think the mom and the daughter that were there, not the one that I know, but the other daughter, and they were, I mean, right outside the airport when it happened. And once again, and I mentioned this last week when we did kind of a year-end wrap-up. By the way, if you do have some personal information about what's going on down in Fort Lauderdale and you want to call in and share that with the rest of us, as long as it's, you know, I trust you that it's true and valid, but anything you'd like us to pray for, you never know. We're on in Florida. Now, we're delayed on the stations that we're on in Florida, but I can tell you that we've got great listeners in WTIS. That's down in Tampa, and our friends over on Truth Radio in Jacksonville and in St. Augustine's. We're talking to some stations about expanding the show down into Miami, but we have people that are part of our family here, the family of faith, as well as the Call to Action family that live in Florida, and you just never know. There's enough people listening right now. If you have some personal connection to the shooting in Fort Lauderdale and you just want us to pray for somebody, feel free to give me a call. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. 7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And you'll join me. Let's all join together here in just a minute and pray for the people down there, because five people so far have been killed. All the devastation that goes out from that rather enormous stone that gets dropped into the pond of an individual's life and ripples out from their immediate family, spouse, children, parents, friends, employers, employees, all of that. And we need to be people of prayer, and we should be. The scriptures call us to pray without ceasing. It's really easy to do that. Not that you're going to pray 24 hours a day, but to have an attitude, a mindset where your radar screen is on for things to pray about. Whether it's the ambulance that drives by or breaking news like this, something you see on Facebook. I mean, this is just these little arrow prayers. We can be doing that all day long and just have an attitude of prayer. And certainly in this case, we need to do that. The incoming president, of course, President Trump was briefed along with the Obama, current president, had been briefed today. Trump tweeted, of course, monitoring the terrible situation in Florida. Just spoke to Governor Scott. Thoughts and prayers for all. Stay safe. And so we'll just have to wait and see what happens here as this news continues to come out. And of course, you spend any time on social media or the internet at all, or conservative talk radio, any kind of talk radio, cable news, and it's just, now we're just going to be inundated with all this and all the guessing, which can be maddening, and all the assumptions and all the labeling. And for us, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and I am, thank God, we need to be rational, calm people, sober-minded, making sober-minded assessments. Do not get sucked into the media vortex and start assuming this, that, and the other thing. We need to be the people that in the midst of the storm are brokenhearted and prayerful, but also discerning and wise. So before we hit the break here in about a minute, I'm going to go ahead and pray for the people down there and affected by this and involved with this. So please join me if you can. Father God, we thank you that you're good, and we thank you that you're providential, and we thank you that we can trust you. And Lord, we just want to lift up these families to you, and many of them perhaps, Lord, you know this, don't even know yet that they've lost a loved one, a husband, a wife, a child, a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, whatever it is, Lord. So we just pray for all these families that your arms and peace would be about them like a blanket to cover them and give them peace and strength, Lord, as they mourn deeply. We pray for their friends. We pray for the people around them. We pray for the police, the first responders, the hospital staff, Lord, everybody involved in this tragic shooting. We lift them up to you now and just pray for your providence and pray for your goodness to reign supreme, and that people will come to know you despite the darkness of this event. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Great to be with you today here on Call to Action Radio. I wish it were under better circumstances, but just keeping track of the attack this afternoon in Fort Lauderdale at the airport. Five dead, eight injured after the gunman shoots up Fort Lauderdale Hollywood Terminal. The gentleman's name is, where is it? I had it just a minute ago. Esteban Santiago. Were you assuming it was going to be a Muslim name? Well, we'll find out about Santiago. Esteban Santiago and Florida Senator Bill Nelson is the one that told reporters that's who it was. And I don't know how he knew that, but and it was carrying a military ID, but he didn't elaborate beyond that. The shooter was a passenger on a Canadian flight with a checked gun. Now, don't know if that's true or not. Broward County Commissioner Chip LaMarca wrote on Facebook, he claimed his bag and took the gun from baggage and went into the bathroom to load it, came out shooting people in baggage claim. Santiago was taken into custody without incident and was unhurt. Law enforcement never fired any shots. Israel said the scene is considered fluid and active. Eight people were rushed to hospitals, and unfortunately, at five at this point that we know of are dead. So did he came in on the flight? He checked his gun, which means he would have had to have a permit and everything for that. And check the gun, which goes through security. It's in the belly of the plane. You get it back right there. And you go into the bathroom and load up and come back out. So, you know, it's just for us as followers, and I hope you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, not just that you're a decent person in your own estimation, no offense meant, and you go to church occasionally and believe in God. Well, the Bible says even the demons believe that and shudder. and I know that we all like to say, hey, not we all say this, but a lot of people, the culture says this, hey, we're all God's children, as if everything is going to be fine. God would never send one of his own children to hell. I mean, would you? But the Bible also teaches another thing, that if we're going to talk about Christianity, you got to go to the source of all of its truth. God itself and its revealed truth comes through the Word of God or the Bible. And he said, no, we're not all God's children. We're all made in his image. We all have inestimable worth because of that reality that we're made in his image. But not everybody's made that. Not everybody is a child of God. The scriptures also say to those who have placed their faith in Christ, to those who are in him, they have been given the right to be called children of God. Not every one of the 330 million people in America is not one of God's children, or the 7+ billion people worldwide. We're not all God's children. Some of us are by faith, by your faith, hopefully, and my faith, assuredly, in Jesus Christ. That, and I'm bringing up the gospel now because, listen, Fort Lauderdale could happen on your drive home. Not necessarily a shooting, obviously, but your death. I mean, death is no respecter of persons or age or circumstance or socioeconomic status. And so whenever these things are happening in the news, and, you know, I could sit here and be regular talk radio all afternoon during the show and just go one story after another, because that's always coming at us. But the one thing that, man, I think we miss out on these opportunities in general is to talk about the reality of death. And people are searching. We assume people, that so many people in America are anti-Christian. They don't want to hear it. You know what? That's, as long as they're a human being, they want to hear it. Because Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I believe, says God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. We are designed to have connection with our Creator that is broken by our sin. And so there's this longing. Now we try to fill that hole in our hearts with all kinds of stuff, right? Maybe you try to fill it with your job or your relationships or what people think of you, or the shape or status of your body, or how active your sex life is, or how big your bank account is, or this, that, or the other thing. So there's this longing that's built into the soul of every man, woman, and child on this planet. And that longing comes from our desire, our need to be reconciled to our Creator. So no matter what's in the news, no matter what's going on in the world of entertainment, no matter what's going on in the church or on Theology Thursday or whatever, nothing is more, the most important conversation I can ever have with you or you can ever have with anybody else is going to be around the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the most important conversation any of us are ever going to have. And we need to, with love and discernment and with compassion and with patience, look for those spiritual opportunities. And certainly with something like this, and you have a conversation, let's say this afternoon or over the weekend with a neighbor or whatever, and they're like, man, that's so terrible. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? You're getting your bags at the airport and boom, some guy starts shooting and you go down. I mean, how do you feel about that if all of a sudden death came knocking on your door tomorrow? I mean, do you feel like that you'd be ready for that? Well, never really thought of it. Well, do you think maybe you should? Because I didn't think about it for a long time either, but I do now. And then that's when, you know, for me personally, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And now, if I were to be that person in the Fort Lauderdale airport today and I died, and it would be grieving and horrible for my family, but I know that I would be in the presence of the Lord right now. Happy, healed. You don't throw the word happy around. That's probably a wrong term, because I would miss my wife and my kids and all my friends, but I would be with Jesus in heaven, and I know that for sure. And so I have a certain peace about death. I don't know. What about you? Do you? You ever think about these things, or do I just sound like a nut job? And that's just a regular conversation that you can have. And they may go, hey, Steve, you know, I am not really into that stuff. Okay. You know, I'm not trying to ring your bell or anything. I care about you. You're my friend or my neighbor. For me, this is like the most important subject we can talk about, but I understand. Let me just tell you this. If you ever do want to talk about it, man, I would really consider that an honor, and I'd be happy to, and I'm not going to shove it down your throat. Okay, cool. I respect that. All right, thanks. Bye. See you later. That's just regular, relational, daily kind of evangelism and a gospel-centered lifestyle that, trust me, I'm not perfect at it. Far from it. But I'm just, you know, God puts this on me and I share it with you, and we all need to consider these things and go, okay, are we ready to give an answer for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect? 1 Peter 3:15. And these opportunities come at us. You can't avoid it. And I think that God can use us to really be a blessing and a comfort to other people if we're willing to have these conversations. So anyway, back to the news, and I'll keep monitoring this as we go through the show today. And then, of course, earlier today, there was a few little stinks in Congress over it. But officially, they officially count the Electoral College votes from each state in Congress. That happened earlier today, another Fox News story. And yes, I look at other places besides Fox News, but you know, this is one of the websites where it's easy to print off articles. Believe me, not every news website's like that. A joint session of Congress on Friday formally certified President-elect Donald Trump's Electoral College victory over the last-minute objections of several Democratic lawmakers who tried to contest the outcome and were instructed by Vice President Biden, "It is over," unquote. The certification clears away any final hurdles for Trump's road to the inauguration in 2 weeks. Trump was certified as winning the White House race with 304 electoral votes to Hillary Clinton's 227. Mike Pence was certified as the next vice president. So this train is on the tracks. It's not going to turn. It's not going to slow down. And 2 weeks from today, on January 20th at noon, Donald J. Trump will become the next president of the United States. As fascinating a statement and shocking a statement as that is, that will be, God willing, the outcome in 2 weeks from today. President-elect is another one. This is interesting. Ambassadors. So his transition team sends out a note to every U.S. ambassador, all of Obama's ambassadors: get out by Inauguration Day. Now, all this stuff, there's about 7,000 appointments that take place when a new president comes in that he has the right to appoint. But come right out and slinging, and I think you can get used to this with Donald Trump. If nothing else, he's not going to probably waste much time. He's going to get right at it. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Good to be with you today. And if you're anywhere in the South like I am, be careful. It's getting pretty nasty out there with this winter storm. You've got all the moisture coming up from the south, the cold air from the north, and that meets, and you have, you know, we call it, what do we call it? Snowmageddon. That's what happens around here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area of North Carolina. We get 2, 3, 4, 5 inches, and it's like the earth is coming to an end. It's just, for me as a Midwesterner for the most part, how many years in the Midwest? Let's see, 20? 20 of my 50 years in the Midwest, I've had my fair share of winters. So down here, when we get slush warnings and things of that nature, I just kind of chuckle a little. But be careful, because it does get dangerous out there. And yes, it's okay. Some people will disagree with me on this. It's okay to pray for travel mercies. You know that one? You know, and pray for travel mercies. I'm like, well, you don't always. Safety is not always a part of God's plan for your life. I'm not Joel Osteen, nor am I a fan of his. So I don't presume that it's all sunny and happy and safe all the time as a follower of Jesus Christ. Actually, the opposite is usually true, because you have a lot more adversaries. Once you become a follower of Christ, you're on Satan's radar screen, especially if you're active with your faith and with your gifting. He hates you. You represent everything that he hates. You're one of his now, his being Jesus Christ, God. The ultimate enemy of Satan, of course. And so that's what happens. And if you love the Lord, and if you're a born-again Christian and trying to follow him, and you never feel any kind of a spiritual attacks, I would just lovingly suggest that you take an inventory of what are you doing with your faith. Because if I have some enemies on the other side of the field, let's say it's World War One, and you're in the other foxhole, but you're just laying down in the hole all comfortable reading your Bible, I don't have to worry about you coming out and onto the field of battle. I don't have to worry about you. But you start sticking your head up, and especially if you take a weapon like the Word of God or the witness of the gospel, and you start coming up out of that pit, and you show up on the field of battle, now you're on the radar screen, and you will experience opposition. So whenever you have that kind of going on, praise the Lord. Because that means your faith is active and you're engaging the culture around you. The stories out there, of course, with the 5 shot dead at the Fort Lauderdale airport just a few hours ago. The pictures now that are showing up on the internet, all very, very disturbing. Obviously, people laying on the ground and this stuff, it really tests your flesh, I think, and our desire to see more and to understand more. And there's that kind of sick side of us that's the blackness of the human heart that you see, you know, really disturbing images or really disturbing video. And I don't know about you, but for me, you know, sometimes I'm like, I wonder what that looks. I mean, what's, you know, if you ever find yourself doing that, I mean, I do. And sometimes I can baptize that and say, well, you know, I'm kind of in the media. I need to talk about these things. I've watched one beheading video in my life, and I watched one ISIS video when they burned that one guy to death, a Jordanian pilot, in a cage, because I wanted to have my heart affected. I wanted to have my mind assaulted by seeing that so that I could speak with the appropriate amount of passion. But you don't need to see it every time. But every once in a while, I think it's helpful for us to take the blinders off and to stare evil in the face. There's one, the guy on CNN, for example, who, what's his name? That's the guy that got Conan or whatever. That's the guy that got drunk on New Year's Eve on CNN. And today he was saying about these four kids in Chicago, the young people, now calling it a hate crime. Isn't every crime a hate crime at some level? That's ridiculous that we parse it that way. But saying that wasn't evil. That wasn't an evil thing that they did, kidnapping that mentally handicapped boy and torturing him for like 48 hours. And they used his phone and sent messages, I think, to his parents. I mean, that's not evil. And then he goes on to say that, well, it's just, you know, a result of bad parenting. Well, sorry, when you're 13, 14, 15, you're fully responsible now for your activities. You're making choices. You're morally culpable. You're cognizant. You know what's going on, and you better believe that. But then, you know, immediately this guy, and he's uber liberal, and it's not an evil act. See, this is the challenge for us as human beings. We like to grade on a curve because we fall under that curve ourselves. That's why people that really hate Christianity and hate the thought of God, because you know what comes with it? There's a lot of baggage that comes with Christianity, namely a moral lawgiver. If there's a God and a moral God and a good God, then and he's given us laws, then he's the lawgiver. And what are we doing with the law? We're held accountable for it. And I don't know the last time you checked, but, you know, as a kid and even as an adult, I don't like to be exposed. I don't like to be judged. I don't like to be held accountable. But that's the deal. So just remember that you represent that as a follower of Jesus Christ out in the culture. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on with this situation down. 26-year-old male, American-born in New Jersey, Esteban Santiago, said to have had a military ID on him. So we'll just keep an eye on that and see. Like me, did you assume terrorism? You know, is somebody going to come out and say, yeah, he yelled Allah Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you know, God is great, and then bam, bam, bam. But in this case, it's strange because he just laid down and was surrendered, which would make him a really bad Muslim, a really bad fundamental Muslim. Isn't going to do that, because just doing the deed doesn't guarantee you paradise. The only thing in the Islamic faith that guarantees you paradise is martyrdom via jihad. That's the only thing. That's why so many Muslims you just kind of give up on it. Because there's no hope. You can do the five pillars of Islam all day long, every day, and you still don't know if Allah is going to let you into paradise. The only thing that guarantees it is you martyr yourself for the cause of Allah, which is dealing with people like you, infidels. That is true Islam. That is Quranic Islam. WWJD, what would Jesus do? WWMD, what would Muhammad do? And we've seen plenty of that to know the truth there. Okay, back to this Trump thing. And I'm just rolling through a bunch of different stories today, so bear with me. And I'm just, you know, I'm here to, number one, try to please the Lord. And number two, try to encourage, challenge, inform, educate, and help you, and as well as myself. We're supposed to be in this together. Trump tells Obama's ambassadors to leave by Inauguration Day. President-elect Donald Trump is not allowing for any diplomatic dawdling. His transition team has issued a directive that all ambassadors appointed by President Obama must leave their posts by Inauguration Day, a source confirmed Friday. While it's standard for politically appointed ambassadors to step aside at the end of a presidential term, past administrations have offered a grace period in certain cases. An individual with knowledge of the Foreign Service told FoxNews.com that Trump's unwillingness to consider individual cases or exigencies appears to represent a break with protocol. Get used to that. The directive in itself is not that significant, but it is more unyielding than in the past, he said. The New York Times first reported that a State Department cable was sent to all ambassadors on December 23rd, informing them that they have to vacate their post by January 20th without exception. So just a little thing, you know, you may know, and you're about to know, that I teach the Constitution, a civics class, I call it Foundations of Freedom, to high school age homeschoolers here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. And we're getting ready to record that, by the way. That'll be 18 30-minute lessons that we'll make available at a very reasonable cost, and do that mostly for the homeschool world, but it's good for anybody. Just a primer, and perhaps the first time you've had a primer on the Constitution, the founding of the country, and the world of civics in general from a Christian, therefore, accurate and truthful perspective. So that's Foundations of Freedom. So in teaching them that, they learn about, you know, it's about 6,800 political appointments that the incoming president, when you change administrations, has to make. Boom, just like that. And obviously Donald Trump or any other incoming new president is going to make them all, but he'll be heavily involved in all the biggies, probably the top 100, especially the cabinet and things like that. But that's the way it goes. And isn't it amazing? Now, what it'll be fascinating to watch. Think about this. In 2 weeks from today, you'll have that. This is traditional. Donald Trump and his wife will go to the White House. They'll pull up to the portico on the side and they'll go in for lunch with President Obama and his wife. Then they'll come out and the first ladies will ride by limo over to the Capitol for the inauguration. And the president, the outgoing and incoming president, will ride together in a separate limo over to the Capitol. Wouldn't you like to be a fly on that wall? Could you? What's that got to be like? The outgoing most powerful guy on the planet and the incoming most powerful person on the planet. And you had this little drive over there together. So that would be an interesting thing to be a part of. If you're like the White House photographer, that would be fantastic. So watch this. They leave. Okay. They all leave the White House and then boom, the residency, the Oval Office, everything. By the time Donald Trump's done, he gets sworn in and, you know, then they've got some other events and some things with Congress. And then you've got the inaugural balls. He's doing 3. Most presidents do 10. And the parade and all that stuff. But when Donald Trump goes to bed that night, he'll go to bed in the residence at the White House. And the Oval Office and the residence will all be completely switched out. Boom. Gone. The whole thing. 8 years of outgoing President Obama and a brand new president all in the same day. One of the amazing things about America, and really unique in the world, is this remarkable, peaceful transfer of power. Even in an environment where it's been as divisive as it is right now, we're still going to see, 2 weeks from today, a peaceful transition of power. Will there be bad comments? Will there be protests and demonstrations? Absolutely. But the country isn't going to set itself on fire. A peaceful transition of power. We can still thank God for that here in the experiment known as the United States of America. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action. We'll be right back. Love that song. I love that question. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? And that's why, you know, if you're a parent like I am and my wife, that's why we parent the way we parent. We want our children to grow up to be the people, the young men and women of God that he designed them to be. But you know, I'm 50. I'll be 51 next month. I don't know your age. But that's a question we always need to ask ourselves. Yep, this is my life. Am I who I want to be? And now if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the question is, am I who God wants me to be? Am I who Jesus wants me to be? It's a subject I love to talk about. I've got an annual trip with 8 of my closest guy friends coming up. How many close girlfriends do you have, Steve? That would be 3, one named Gina, one named Amelia, and one named Caroline. They all have one thing in common. Well, 2 things. They're female. And their last name is Noble. But these guys, and we're going to spend all day. It's going to be on a Saturday. We have a friend that allows us to use his really cool farmhouse up in the middle of Virginia somewhere. And we're going to talk about what does it mean to be effective in the Christian life? I mean, what should we be? What does that look like? Because we can oftentimes, isn't it easy to get right back onto that treadmill as if we're going to earn God's favor? We're going to get him to, so we're performing, right? I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do the other thing. And is that what it really is all about? And certainly Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Obedience is at the top of the list. But what else? What does an effective Christian life look like? Are you who you want to be in Christ? It's a great question. Okay, let me talk about this and then a couple other things on Facebook Live that people were throwing out there. Convention of the States and the new governor of North Carolina. I'll get to that here in just a minute. From CNN, see, just so you know, I'm an equal opportunity offender. From CNN, a push by Republican congressional leaders to defund Planned Parenthood could threaten passage of their top priority legislation to repeal Obamacare because of opposition to the anti-abortion provision by two key GOP senators. So you're thinking, well, we have 52 seats in the Senate. We can just blow through this thing and defund Planned Parenthood. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to do. We need to defund Satan. Don't have to pray about that one. House Speaker Paul Ryan announced Thursday that Republicans will move to strip all federal funding, amen, from Planned Parenthood as part of the process they are using early this year to dismantle Obamacare. Congressional Republicans have tried for years to zero out all federal funding for Planned Parenthood because the group provides abortion services. The fight over Obamacare helped trigger a 16-day government shutdown in 2013, and Democrats and President Obama insisted any Planned Parenthood provision targeting the group be removed from a bill to fund federal agencies. If you want to get your mind right about why the left is so zealous for all things abortion, just flip it on its head. And go, okay, let me talk to you, assuming you're a follower of Jesus Christ. When you see various attacks, overt, subversive, whatever, on Christianity, on God, on Jesus, on the scriptures, and that, you know, ticks you off, right? It upsets you because people are attacking your God. Well, that's exactly why most liberals get bent out of shape when it comes to anything to do with abortion, because you're attacking their God. Harsh. But true. The decision to add the controversial Planned Parenthood language from the CNN article, which is opposed by most Democrats, could have a major impact on getting the Affordable Care Act repeal legislation through the Senate because supporters need the backing of at least 50 of their two members and two pro-choice senators, Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, won't commit to approving the bill with the Planned Parenthood provision in it. They're Democrats, by the way. Further complicating matters for Senate GOP leaders is Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, a Republican, who announced this week he plans to vote against the Obamacare repeal legislation because the underlying budget measure it is attached to doesn't balance and adds to the deficit. If Murkowski, Collins, and Rand Paul all voted against the budget bill, it would be enough to torpedo the Obamacare repeal legislation. I'm going to wait and see what happens, Collins told reporters, indicating she thinks it's too early to decide how she will vote on the bill. Obviously, I'm not happy to hear the speaker wants to include defunding of Planned Parenthood, an extremely controversial issue, in the package. It's not controversial to the babies, ma'am. Murkowski's told reporters Tuesday she was still weighing the issue. In 2015, she joined Collins in voting for an amendment to strip Planned Parenthood funding out of a budget bill that would have also repealed much of Obamacare, but Murkowski ultimately backed the repeal measure, even though it had the anti-Planned Parenthood provision, which Obama ultimately vetoed. At this point in time, this is a quote, I've not been involved in a sit-down with colleagues about specifics of reconciliation, so it's tough for me to speculate or engage in conjecture, she said earlier this week. We're going to have to be having a lot of discussions about that probably as soon as this week. So let's make sure, prayer friends, prayer warriors out there, we need to be praying for this measure within the Obamacare world and trying to strip that and change things to defund Planned Parenthood. And this is where we need to pray for the new president as well, because the social issues, as we like to call them in the world of politics, abortion and marriage, you know, stupid stuff like that, wink, wink, it's not a big deal to him. Anything with the homosexual agenda, not a big deal to him until it kind of comes head to head with the Christians, and he's all about Christmas and Christians having the right to speak out. But when it comes to the Christian baker, now you can blow off making a dress for the Melania Trump because you can't stand her and you don't like what she stands for. And you can have a restaurant that chooses to not serve Trump supporters. But if you're a Christian and you don't want to make a wedding cake, which would be you participating in a quote unquote gay wedding, which is obviously massively offensive to the institution of marriage designed by God himself, well, you get fined and lose your business, like up in Washington State and a couple other places. In Washington State, $137,000 fine by this nice Christian couple who just didn't want to be part of a gay wedding, a homosexual wedding. So we prosecute those people, and we applaud the others. Welcome to the world of selective moral outrage. So Yeah. Now, somebody on Facebook, Zach, said, so Senator Rand Paul doesn't want to repeal it for financial reasons. Obamacare must generate a lot of revenue. It's pretty scary. Now, remember, for most libertarians, they don't really go down the road of these social issues, moral issues. That's not the place of the government. So most libertarians are like, hey, we shouldn't be in marriage at all. Constitutionally, I don't have a problem with that. The reason we did get involved with marriage in the first place is because married couples, man and woman, make for the best families, the best offspring, and it has a positive impact on your culture, i.e. the United States of America. So we wanted to incentivize it, so they did. But from a constitutional standpoint, shouldn't that be a states' rights issue? Absolutely. I think that should be a states' rights issue. The gay marriage thing should have been a states' rights issue. Ultimately, should abortion be a states' rights issue? Well, at the very least, it should. Should that at the federal level, since we're talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you destroy life. They don't have liberty. They don't have the pursuit of happiness. I think that one, because it's murder, we can go ahead and have that one at a federal level. But, yeah, so Rand Paul, and again, that's so what's more important to you? Can we get to a balanced budget? Absolutely. But can we defund Planned Parenthood? I would put the lives of about 1 million babies per year ahead of our balanced budget. In terms of immediacy, absolutely. Plus, that's a fight that needs to be fought and won, defunding Planned Parenthood. But remember, we have a president, an incoming president, who's like, hey, you know, Planned Parenthood does some good stuff. I'm going to use this example I use all the time. He's, you know, so, you know, yeah, the abortion stuff, that's bad. We shouldn't be funding that. But they do other good stuff. I'll put that into Trump's world. Let's go back a few years when Ivanka was a single and me too. And let's say for some crazy, stupid reason, I get to know her and I want to date her. So I go see Donald. And here's how this goes. That kind of reasoning. Planned Parenthood says only 3% of what we do is abortions. Okay. Let's check that out. Here's how this conversation goes. Hi, Mr. Trump. Thanks for seeing me. I really like Ivanka, a great girl. I'd love to take her on a date. And well, Steve, what do you do? Tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, I'm glad you asked, Mr. Trump. May I call you Donald? No, you may not. Okay. Mr. Trump, well, you know, I just want you to know, check this out. 97% of my time, I work at the soup kitchen. I run a not-for-profit. I help educate inner-city kids. I help people that don't have means. I help some other charities, organizations. So that's like 97% of my time. I'm doing all this awesome stuff. And wow, Steve, I mean, that's really impressive. I mean, gosh, 97%. I mean, how many people can say that? So just out of curiosity, what do you do with your other 3%? What do you do with that last 3%? 97%, awesome, fantastic, the best. 3%, so what do you do with that? Well, it's only 3%. No, I know, Steve. Okay, so it's 3%. It's only 3%. But 3% of my time, which hardly, that's not much at all, right? I kidnap, molest, and eventually murder children. But it's only 3% of my time. So what time should I have Ivanka back? Now, what do you think Donald Trump's going to say then? The 3% of my time is spent in activities that are so egregious, so evil, that it doesn't matter what I do with the 97%. Same thing, Planned Parenthood. Same exact process. All right, one other thing that came from Facebook Live was Convention of the States, Article 5. So this is a great section of the Constitution. And when you get frustrated with Congress and Congress isn't going to move, like let's say you want to have a balanced budget amendment, or let's say you want to have a term limits amendment. You know, Congress isn't going to, you know, they like to take care of themselves. They're like the rest of us, right? Truth be told. So in our country, under the U.S. Constitution, there's a way around them. It's called the Convention of the States. So in order to propose a constitutional amendment, you either got to get 2/3 in the House and the Senate or 2/3 of the states to call a special convention. And then at the convention, they come together and then the percentage goes up. But the states can go around, state legislatures can go around Congress to pass an amendment if your congressional representatives are out of control, too much into the federal government, and they are. You can go to the states, the 10th Amendment, the way it's always supposed to be. Most of the autonomy, most of the power is supposed to be in the states, not in the federal government. And the Convention of the States goes around the Congress and the people. Wow, who are they? You know, you, me, the people go around it. So there is a movement right now, Convention of the States, to engage a couple areas that we need to engage. It's out there. It's happening. So if you find out about it in your state, make sure you get involved. This is Steve Noble. Let's keep praying for the people in Fort Lauderdale. Let's make sure we use our time wisely, because we don't know whether we're going to have tomorrow or not. I love you guys. I appreciate you being here. The website, c2atoday.com, or find me on Facebook. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.